All right, so ready to dive into chapter 9, nonverbal delivery. This is like the secret sauce of public speaking.
It really is, and the book uses this great analogy, charades.
Oh yeah, I remember playing charades with like my family, and we could get so much across without even like a word.
Exactly. That's the power of nonverbal communication. And when you bring that to public speaking, it's a game changer. Suddenly you're thinking about your whole presence, not just the words.
So let's break it down, starting with eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
The chapter says it's the most important, even more than a smile, which I was kind of surprised by.
Makes sense though, right? Eye contact, it's all about connection. When you meet someone's gaze, you're like, I see you, I'm with you. It's how you build that bridge with the audience.
Right, but how much is too much? They give those examples of job applicants, one staring you down, the other never looking.
Totally. Both are so awkward. The key is balance. They call it gaze allocation.
Gaze allocation.
Yeah, it's like strategically spreading your eye contact around. Not just one person, not darting around, but consciously connecting with different people.
So it's not looking at everyone at once, but more like mini conversations with your eyes throughout the speech.
Exactly. And they say aim for about 80% eye contact during your speaking time. Sounds like a lot, but it makes a huge difference in building that rapport.
What about those tricks? Mm-hmm. Like picking three spots on the back wall and pretending. Do those even work?
Oh, the book actually debunks those. They might seem clever, but they end up looking so unnatural, and that's distracting.
Right. If you're just shifting between those three spots, it's obvious you're not really with anyone. Might even seem, I don't know, shifty.
Exactly. The audience can tell when you're not genuinely engaged, and it hurts your credibility. Authenticity is key. Aim for like 3 seconds of eye contact with each person. Long enough to connect, but not too long that it's weird.
3 seconds. Got it. Way better than trying to scan the whole room constantly. Okay, shifting gears to movement. How much is too much? I've seen those speakers who pace around like crazy.
It's like everything else, balance. Movement's natural. When you're talking with friends, you use your hands, shift your weight, maybe step closer. It's being aware of those natural movements and adapting them to public speaking.
Totally. I know I use my hands a lot when I'm excited, so I try to be mindful of that when speaking. What about people who aren't naturally expressive? Do they have to force it?
It's about what's authentic for you. If you don't gesture much, a few well-placed movements can help. The main thing is to avoid looking stiff or robotic.
So it's less about copying someone else and more refining your own style. That's actually kind of freeing.
Exactly. And the chapter points out some common hand traps. You know, the jazz hands, being stiff, gripping onto objects.
Oh yeah, I've seen those jazz hands. And I'm totally guilty of clinging to my notes when I'm nervous. How do you avoid those awkward hand habits?
Awareness is the first step. Once you know your tendencies, you can adjust. Like, if you grip things, practice with empty hands. If you're a jazz hands person, work on more controlled, deliberate gestures.
And what about our feet? Should we be like statues, or is it okay to move?
Movement should have a purpose. The book says to think about 2 things. The space itself, like podium versus stage, and how movement can either help or hurt your message and the overall, you know, aesthetic.
That makes sense. Formal presentation at a podium, pacing would be distracting. But on a stage, some movement can help you connect with different parts of the audience.
Right. It's about making the experience dynamic and engaging. You can use movement to signal transitions, emphasize points, even just create some visual interest.
So strategic movement can be a tool for keeping people engaged.
Totally. But avoid the aimless pacing or blocking visuals. No robotic pre-planned moves either. Find that sweet spot where your movement feels natural and purposeful.
Got it. No tiger pacing, no statue freezing. Movement should add to the message, not distract.
Exactly. Okay, let's talk about facial expressions. You know how sometimes someone's face tells a whole other story than their words?
Oh, for sure. Like, I have a friend who's a terrible liar. His face always gives him away.
It's because our expressions often show our true feelings, even if we try to hide them. And in public speaking, that can be really powerful.
So if I'm giving a speech about something I'm passionate about, my face should show that.
Yeah. That enthusiasm becomes contagious, helps the audience connect with your message on an emotional level.
That makes sense. But what if I'm nervous? Is it okay to show it, or should I try to be neutral?
It's natural to feel nervous. Trying to hide it completely can actually backfire. Better to acknowledge those feelings, be human. The audience appreciates authenticity, like those ASPCA commercials with Sarah McLachlan. They're designed to make you feel sad, and it works because our facial expressions, even just watching, are tied to our emotions.
I get that. It's about embracing the emotions, not erasing them. But how do we balance being authentic with making sure our expressions fit the message?
That's where congruence comes in. Your facial expressions should match your message. Serious topic, somber expression, humorous story. A smile helps the audience get the joke. Be mindful of those expressions. Make sure they're supporting your message, not contradicting it.
I'm starting to see the bigger picture here. It's not just mastering a bunch of tricks. It's about understanding how our whole presence communicates and using that to be more authentic, more impactful. This is really cool stuff.
It is. And we've only just scratched the surface. There's so much more, like how attire and cultural context come into play.
My mind is blown. I can't wait to dive deeper and learn how to be a more powerful and authentic communicator.
Let's do it.
Okay, so that's it for part one of our Chapter 9 deep dive. Stay tuned, because when we come back, we've got even more fascinating insights into nonverbal communication.
Welcome back. Ready for more nonverbal fun?
Well, absolutely. Before the break, we were talking about those facial expressions and how they can totally change how a message comes across. Like, you know, when someone says they're fine, but their face is like, nope, definitely not fine.
Yeah, that's a perfect example. Shows you how important it is to make sure your expressions match your words. The book talks about those six basic emotions, you know, happy, sad, angry, fearful, surprised, and disgusted. And it's amazing how our faces just naturally show those emotions, which of course affects how people see our message.
So it's like we're always sending signals with our faces, even without realizing it. And as speakers, we got to be aware of that and make sure those signals are working with our words, not against them.
Exactly. Think about how you use expressions when you're just chatting. A raised eyebrow can mean you're skeptical. A furrowed brow shows concern. A smile makes you seem warm and approachable. Those same things work in public speaking too. They help you connect with the audience on that emotional level.
Okay, so we've covered eye contact, movement, and facial expressions. What about what we wear? I mean, we all know first impressions matter, but does it really make a difference what you wear when you're giving a speech?
Definitely. The chapter says your clothes should fit the occasion, and they should match your message too. Like, you wouldn't wear a swimsuit to a job interview, right?
Yeah, probably not the best choice. But does that mean we always have to be super formal?
No, not necessarily. It's more about finding that right balance. Being professional, but also being yourself. Think about what's appropriate for this situation. And also, is anything I'm wearing going to be distracting? Like jangly jewelry or shirt with a crazy slogan on it?
Oh, yeah. I've totally been to presentations where someone's jewelry was like clinking the whole time. So distracting. It's about being mindful of how those little things can affect how the audience sees us and our message.
Right. And it's not just about avoiding distractions either. It's about what impression you want to make. Giving a presentation to executives. A more formal outfit might show that you're professional and credible. Talking to a younger audience, maybe something more relaxed is better.
It's about adapting, just like we adapt our nonverbal communication. This is so interesting. I'm starting to see how all these things fit together. Eye contact, movement, facial expressions, even what we wear. Like, they're all part of this bigger puzzle.
That's a great way to put it. And the book also talks about how different audiences might see our nonverbal cues in different ways.
Oh, that's a really good point. Can you say more about that?
Well, they talk about this idea called the mythical norm. It's basically those unconscious biases we have about what a credible speaker should look and sound like. And those biases can be based on things like how someone looks, their gender, race, ability, even their cultural background.
Someone who doesn't fit that stereotypical image of a perfect speaker might have a harder time being seen as credible, even if what they're saying is brilliant.
Exactly. Like, in some cultures, not making direct eye contact is a sign of respect. But in other cultures, it might seem like you're not confident. And certain gestures that are totally fine in one culture might be offensive in another.
Wow, that's so important to think about. We have to be aware of our own biases as audience members and not jump to conclusions based on someone's nonverbal communication.
Absolutely. It's about realizing that how we interpret things is shaped by our own experiences and our own culture. We have to challenge ourselves to be more open-minded and inclusive.
I love that. It's about creating a space where everyone feels comfortable and respected, no matter how they communicate. So how can we, as speakers, be more mindful of those cultural differences?
The chapter suggests doing your research. If you know you're presenting to people from a different culture, learn about their communication norms. And don't be afraid to ask questions. People are usually happy to share their perspective.
And as audience members, we can try to be more reflexive. which is basically constantly checking our own assumptions, like realizing that how we're seeing things might not be accurate,
yeah.
and being open to the possibility that we might be misinterpreting someone's nonverbal cues.
That's so important. It's about approaching communication with curiosity and humility, realizing that we can all learn from each other.
This whole conversation has been so eye-opening. I'm seeing nonverbal communication in a completely different way now, and I'm realizing that it's not just about techniques. It's about being more self-aware, more culturally sensitive, more open to different ways of communicating.
I think you've hit the nail on the head. It's really about connection, using our nonverbal communication to connect with others, to create understanding, to build relationships.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's like we're using our bodies and expressions to say, I see you, I hear you, and I want to connect with you.
Exactly. And when we can do that, when we connect with our audience on that level, that's when things get really special. That's when our message comes alive, our words have power, and we leave a lasting impression.
This deep dive into nonverbal communication has been incredible. I'm so excited to start putting all these insights into practice.
Me too. It's amazing how much power we have just in our bodies and our expressions.
Back again. I don't know about you, but all this talk about nonverbal communication has me like super energized.
Me too. So much good stuff packed into just one chapter.
It's like unlocked this whole new awareness of how I communicate, you know?
Totally. It shows how public speaking is so much more than just words on a page. It's your presence, your energy, how you connect with the audience.
And it's not even just about being a good speaker. It's about being a genuine communicator in all parts of life, really.
Exactly. Presentations, meetings, even just hanging out with friends. These nonverbal things, they can make those interactions so much more meaningful and powerful.
Love that. Showing up as your full self, words and actions, embracing that. Power of presence.
You know, something's been on my mind throughout this whole conversation.
Ooh, I'm curious. Lay it on me.
Well, we've talked a lot about techniques and strategies, but I think the most important thing is don't get hung up on perfection. It's about progress.
Such a good point. It's easy to get caught up in doing everything right, but the real magic is in being human, making mistakes and learning from them.
Exactly. Remember learning to ride a bike? Now you probably fell a few times, right? But each time you got back up, you learned something. And eventually you were riding like a pro.
I love that. It's a reminder that learning takes time and it's okay to be a beginner.
And that's true for nonverbal communication too. Don't be afraid to try new things, experiment, figure out what works for you.
And be kind to ourselves along the way.
Absolutely. Celebrate those wins. Embrace your quirks. Remember that. Authenticity always beats perfection.
Yeah, okay, I'm feeling so inspired right now. I want to give our listeners a little challenge.
Sounds fun. What you thinking?
Remember how we talked about observing other speakers? I think it'd be cool if our listeners pick a speaker they admire, someone who really grabs their attention with their presence and analyze their nonverbal communication.
Oh, that's a fantastic idea. It's like a free masterclass.
Exactly. Pay attention to their eye contact, movement, gestures, expressions. What are they doing that makes them so captivating? What can you learn from them?
And don't just focus on the big stuff. Look for those subtle things too. How do they use their body to create a sense of connection or authority? How do their expressions convey emotion and pull the audience in?
This is like communication detective work.
Love it. The more you observe, the more you'll start to see the patterns and the things that make nonverbal communication so effective.
Who knows? Maybe you'll even find some new tricks for your own communication style.
So many possibilities.
Well, that wraps up our deep dive into Chapter 9 of Speak Out, Call In. Thanks for joining us on this exploration of nonverbal communication.
It's been a blast.
Keep practicing those nonverbal skills, folks. We'll catch you next time for another deep dive.